So anyway, just keep
okay,
talking.
So the, the universal accept, let's go back to that point. We're on what we learned in 2021 looking to 2022. We've done the rise of the iPhone, which includes the fall of DSLR cameras, and there's a bunch of data on that, smartphone cameras, and the rise of them with throwing everything in the, plus the kitchen sink in them, and even the way they've been marketed. Then we're talking about the property market, the speed to market, how fast houses need to hit the market. So if you list something on a Thursday, it needs to hit the market on a Saturday, and it's pretty much impossible to get a professional photographer out to have it shot there. The heat in the market, simply meaning that the market is rising so fast and there are a bunch of houses hitting it. Do we have sellers listing, you know, that wouldn't have sold in the past, but we've got more buyers than we've ever had before. So there's more competition buying for them. And what that meant, you know, is that you've got, during COVID, you had these photographers who wouldn't, they wouldn't have any income for 3 to 4 months. And a lot of that lack of income sunk photographers or sent them to other industries where they desperately needed cash. So they left, and then the perfect storm happened whereby all these properties hit the market and we've got less photographers out there to shoot them. So your wait times for photographers sometimes blew out to a month. Therefore, real estate agents run already under pressure because they've got another 10 agents vying for the listing that they have. They're under pressure to get it to market. They can't find that photographer or they can't get one within that time frame. They're being forced to look for other alternatives, and therefore a lot of people flock to the iPhone. You know, the thing that we would like to say at the end is the smart users of the iPhone, they actually started getting professional editing services. And in the case of us, you could shoot a house, legitimately shoot a house, send us the images and have those back within 12 hours. And that really solved that problem for a bunch of people.
So
that's the rise of the iPhone. The second point I've made, which we're going to park for the time being, is agents who are already marking well took extremely unfortunate circumstances in their stride.
Yeah.
We don't have enough evidence on that, but that is definitely a point in the groups and in the panels that I'm a part of. Agents who had their ducks in a row as far as here's the marketing we're doing, you know, they might have had good photos, good copy, floor plans, virtual tours and video already part of their marketing campaign. Well, when COVID came along, they were in the box seat because they had all of that marketing sitting there. There was nothing that they had to do. So there wasn't a rush to get virtual tours done. There wasn't a rush to get photography or floor plans written up or anything like that. Their incoming purchases had a perfect snapshot of what that house looked like. So we don't have enough hard statistics on that, but I'm very sure that actually happened. So the third point is the universal acceptance of virtual staging. This started in 2020. Lots of people who swore they would never move to virtual staging definitely took it up. In fact, our website went into meltdown for the first 2 months of the pandemic in 2020, whereby thousands of people flocked to join, and the primary edit that they were looking at was virtual staging. And that was because in 2020 and towards the end of 2020, physical staging was outlawed in many states and territories, but the consumer still wanted staging. So the only alternative then is virtual staging. So we got a rush through of these buyers, but what we learned in 2021 is these buyers didn't go away. These clients didn't go away. The clients were still doing virtual staging and they haven't left us. So what we're surmising is they've probably gone back and they're more than likely still using physical staging. But because of the heat in the market, because things are selling so fast, what's the time frame on getting a physical stager out to have a look at your property, advise you what it is, sign off on the contract, move the furniture in, then get your photography done, then you're good to go to market. Whereas the flip side to that is, you take the photos, you send them to us, and you have them virtually staged, they could potentially hit the market in 24 hours. And a lot of people were knowing that, you know, that's a step that they could skip. So physical staging really took a hit in 2021 at the expense of virtual staging. And I believe a lot of the users who were forced to use it are going to stay users forever because they now have that as a tool in their toolkit. And that's a very important point.
And didn't you mention also, maybe as a little additional add-on to that, didn't you tell me that a lot of there's a high percentage of people that it was like virtual staging was like the gateway drug to the rest of it. Like didn't the people that got virtual staging then
started using us for other
image enhancements and Beta Dusk? They started learning.
The Twilight conversion was a big one because you know that gets you four times more clicks. So it then and that's the next point is the speed to the market and the hot market and what that's meant about for real estate. So you know a lot of people are trying every single trick in the book to try and get that property above the cesspool of others that are out there in order to you know gain some kind of bigger click rate. Now things are selling, but you know what we learned is what the average real estate agent learned is that they had one format of advertising, and that might have been they got Brian Smith, the photographer out there. He took photos, he sent them back to them. They didn't even check them. Happy days. Someone might have written a bit of copy, and they'll upload that to the MLS and hope it sold. Well. Mm-hmm. Those things did sell, but you know, then what happened is because everything sold off the market. If you walk in, and I'm being auditioned as Brian Smith, and there's another 10 agents coming in. The only thing that sets you apart is the way that you're able to market that house. So in a hot market, sellers who hadn't already been marketing well had to adapt really, really quickly to get a whole arsenal of tools together that said that we can actually market your house really, really well in a short period of time. So, you know, twilight conversions, image enhancement for iPhone photos, virtual staging, floor plans, all came as part of the play because they needed to one up the other 10 listing agents that are walking in trying to list a house. So speed to market actually meant that agents, the only way agents could actually make a point of difference if you and I were walking to the same house is that I would go, I'm better at this than you are, and here's the marketing to show
and
that.
Also, what I think, I'm definitely convinced of this, is that like there everything was probably selling, but what the agents that were doing marketing well was that they, and I've even, all the people I've interviewed are kind of confirming this, is that they are the ones that are able to get the bidding wars, because it's like there were a bunch of bidding wars going on, but you can't get a bidding war without attracting a bunch of people. And so with a good marketing, like you can sell your house probably immediately and for what you're asking with just standard whatever, but then like the good marketing is what gets the crowd going, and that's when everyone starts.
Yep. Yeah. So let's get a quote from our mates over at MarketBuy who create that bidding war.
Okay.
Let's get a quote from marketbuy.com.au. Let's get John Hellaby and Dave Stewart in there. And they're really good mates of ours. And let's just get a generic quote about, you know, one of the things that we noticed at MarketBuy, which is an online transactional, marketbuy.com.au, an online transactional platform, is that the good agents were the ones that got several different, we can get a quote exactly on that point that you just said, Alex, really easy. Great mates of ours, both Aussies.
Awesome.
The perfect storm creating, so the final point, it was almost like 2021 was the perfect storm creating havoc for the agent. Firstly, we had the pandemic, which we've discussed, no income for agents coming in. We should also be, so photographers were running away from the job. So, real estate agents in many respects were also running away from the job. But then the market went hot and then a bunch of them flocked to it. But now we have something called the Great Resignation. Right. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, you told me, you were mentioning it, yeah.
A bunch of people leaving the industry. This ties in with the other one. So more pressure on the existing photographers, longer time frames to book photographers. The market is raging hot with speed to market of the essence. Agents began to look for tools that would allow them to get the property to market professionally quick. So I think there's enough in there to do maybe a three-part series on what we learned in 2021.
Yeah, I'm using my Wi-Fi hotspot here, right? You know what I mean? And everything's running so slow. Like in the last, I've been trying to open my dock on this for the past like minute, and it's still not freaking happening. It's ridiculous. But anyway, at least I'm recording.
What kind of Mac do you have?
No, the Mac's not set up yet. There was like a disaster today. They hooked up the water, the city water. They installed it, and then the whole downstairs started raining. And the guys went away. The guys in the truck went away, and so I had to call the city again and try to track down that truck and get them to come back and re-turn off. So everything's like, I should. Anyway, I just want to open this document. I'll
Jeez.
It's anyway. Let's see what we.
Is this the email I sent or?
No, because I'd started like a Google Doc on this story already, and I'm just trying to. I was just going to have it open while we're talking, just to be. Oh, year in review. This is it. Here, I found the document now. Okay. It was taking forever to open Google Docs. It still is. Anyway, it's coming. Okay, because I just wanted to be able to also type things while you're talking. So we're okay. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay. Holy crap! Anyway, so we're on. We've got the rise of the smartphone. The agents that were marketing well before the pandemic did continue to do well. We've got the dawn, the final arrival of virtual staging on the scene, or whatever. Then we've got these. Did we already say that lack of agents or lack of photographers? Sorry, lack of photographers.
Yeah, well, I've read.
Yeah,
the perfect storm, the lack of photographers, and then we've got the speed to market, hot market. What has that meant for real estate agents? And we could you probably talk about the one of the things we learned is agents learned that they cannot just market. Their marketing can't exist on a one theory kind of process where. They've been doing it this way forever. The hot market really showed agents who weren't holistically looking at market that they had to at marketing is that they had to adapt and have a larger toolkit when it comes to marketing and properties. And I think the good agents will probably keep that. They'll probably keep that. All of the tools that they had during this pandemic, they'll remember and they'll go, oh, okay, we're at this property now. It would be good if we could get it to the market very quick. We will do it that way. But that's all I've got. Can I leave you with that? And
yes,
you can go and do your thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Okay. I'll, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. I think, and we've got, if you could hope to have that, like, I don't know what your time frame is, hope to have that good to go by before my Wednesday of next week.
Easily. Yeah, no problem. No way, easily.
After Thanksgiving weekend, we'll pump that out to the PR firm.
Yeah.
And I think they are, we may fatten that up with data that we've got here.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw it back to you. I'm still waiting on that data. But if you do the bones of that, I feel like we should be good to go.
And, I've got – this is going to be a great piece, I'll tell you right now, because all of these people I've talked to, like – Luke Dufuser, or whatever that guy's name is.
Dufuser.
All of the people, the agents I've interviewed, the guy in Idaho, what's his name?
Charles Nitschke,
Michael Lafido, Ines. Yep. All of these people have quoted about exactly Greg Gardner, even about the rise of virtual stage. Everything we've talked about, I know for a fact that I've already got quotes from them. Talking of like confirming all of these things.
Well, that's great because they really weren't front of mind. Now that you mention it, I can see that that correlates. But you can actually mention all of those names and link back to the articles on them that talk about these people. Even through here are the articles
there
we did on these people independently confirming what we've said. We could potentially get quotes from them and throw them in the article as well. So that, that's brilliant, mate. That's perfect. And anything else that you can think of with regards to, what we're kind of looking for, and I feel like it's more my pitch to come up with, maybe throw it to you for collaboration, is I've got to come up with some kind of feel-good story coming into the new year.
Yeah. Oh, That's the one. The Adventures of Box Brownie. I was talking with Brad about you, Mel, and Brad, and like just talking about like the first time you guys go up to your first conference in the U.S., the first trip, and then each of you guys like kind of like the far out stories more like the ones just like we and then that would be just such a great read, and like you'd be mentioning all these people in the stories, and they'd be interested to read about. Everyone likes to read about themselves in a positive way. I think that would be super interesting for a feel good, like the Adventures of Box Brownie, and then just whatever,
Well, potentially, you could, if you wanted to tie that in, you could say it's coming to an end. You could actually say we're looking forward to the end of a 2-year hiatus off the road.
Oh yeah.
You could thank our clients for their patience in not, you know, we could actually attack it from the angle of going, it's our way to give back to the industry, is that we like to be present. We don't want to have Joe Blow on the stand like a lot of other vendors do. We actually want a decision maker there so you can talk to somebody and you can go, this is Box Brownie. This is, you know, we want... Culturally, we want to serve the industry. That's a great word there, right there. Culture. We want to serve the industry by being present and giving what we see in the travels that we've had around the place. And that might be, you know, that might be helping out. In New York, I sat at a bar and I helped out an agent who couldn't understand why he'd hit a rut. And all I did is told him about a marketing technique that I pulled from Melbourne. That revolutionized his rent roll. It was about guys going around. Actually, you're in an element of that story because one of the things I pulled from CQ Media Group was the way you'd set up the distribution platform by giving these off-road scooters that we used to go and deliver. And so I adapted that. You probably don't know this. I adapted that to a Melbourne group called Niche Property. So what they were having issues with is they were having dramas with property managers getting into, you know, he said to me, I sent a property manager out today. She should be able to do 14 inspections. Bad traffic meant that she got to one property. And he said, how the hell do I get around that? And I said, number one, you shouldn't be sending out somebody on a 60 grand salary to do an inspection. Number two, you should be sending out guys between 18 and 25 years old, subcontractors on the back of scooters. They should have their best iPhone with them. They should have a 360 degree camera with them. And the inspection, just all it exists of is them putting this around the apartment, taking photos. Now, they're just trained in general maintenance. So they will go, oh, there's a leak there. We need to fix that. We'll take photos and detail that. They've got their iPad, you know, whatever the chosen inspection platform of that choice is. So they're filling that out all out. 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes to inspect that property. Now, property managers, it takes 30 minutes to an hour. You don't do that. You take those photos. He slings his backpack on. He gets back on his off-road scooter and goes and does the other one. Guess how many inspections you can do in that format in a day?
You could just weave through the traffic if it was that bad, for sure. You could do,
20, between 25 and 30 they were doing. Jeez. Instead of, the guy's talking about a maximum of 10. 10's our record. So when I put him onto this platform, which, you know, pulled the elements of all of this together, he was doing between 25 and 30. And what those guys would do is they'd come and upload everything into a database at the end of the day. In fact, they didn't even do that. They'd hand over their cameras, they'd check it in, it would be charged. Oh, by the way, they had to have battery packs with them to charge the things as they went. So, but then that hand over their devices at the end of the day, that charged them. Then there was an admin assistant who would have only clocked on for, you know, since midday, and her responsibility was for putting them all into folders. And they had a night auditor who was a property manager who would sit there and she'd just inspect the properties and issue notices. And so anyway, I'm sitting at a New York bar where a guy goes, I think I'm going to have to get rid of my rent roll. I just can't do this anymore. I don't feel I'm servicing the landlords or the tenants well, and it's causing me lack of sleep and whatever else. I sat there with him. The guy actually broke down in tears. He said, you know, I've spent my whole life building this business. He'd had a few beers by that stage. I'm like, mate, I don't know who you are, but you've perched up at the table next to the right dude today. Let's reinvestigate this. So I sat down with the guy. I ran over all of the things he had to do. He sent me an email 3 months in. He sent me a big bottle of bourbon. He said, you have totally changed my life. You've kept me in the industry. Now, that's one conversation out of millions I've had.
For sure.
That's one out of millions. And that one was detailed because we went over the business plan. I said, here's what you have to do. And I put him in the right direction. I said, go for a tiger. You know, that's one conversation.
That's the thing, and, you know. So that's like about
coming back.
Go ahead.
Coming back to the point, our job is to serve. So if I had Joe Blow servicing our booth, he wouldn't have been at the bar that night. Well, he might have been, but he certainly wouldn't.
He wouldn't have cared
to
sit down and talk to a guy about his business setup. No, he would have been out.
I know. And the thing was, that guy had come to Inman Connect thinking that he might have an answer. Inman Connect didn't have any tools on the exhibit floor, any speakers on property management, which is what he was hoping to do. I mean, he fluked it. Inman Connect is about networking. Yeah. And leading into Inman Connect in New York, which is the one I'm going to, it has nothing to do with a lot of people go there thinking I'm going to see the best tools.
Yeah.
I'm going to see, you know, the greatest speakers on anything to do with property. Well, you might see some good speakers and you might see some great tools. Fantastic. But if you don't get out there and network, you're missing the point.
I completely agree. That's totally what they're all about. That. And even that's what I was thinking about EXP World. That's like the brilliance of EXP World. What blew me away is because it could be the crappiest speaker in the world, but it gets everyone in the same room that has the same interest on the same topic. And then that's when it all starts. It just unites everybody.
Yeah. And you haven't seen Keller Williams Family Reunion and Mega Camp yet, but that's what they do. It's very much a religious experience where, you know, we're going to a church camp or whatever. This used to happen when I was a kid. They'd throw us at a church camp and you'd be on fire straight after that because all like-minded people will have met. They will have G'd each other up. You leave there and let's call it, they used to refer to it as your candle is burning brightest at that point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they would say you go out into the world and that diminishes for a little bit. You have to come back and get charged back up. So you do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of these experiences like Inman Connect, like EXPCon, like Keller Williams Family Reunion, they serve to G up the faithful. And you know, maybe you don't want to look at it like a religious experience because your religion doesn't allow you to look outside of that, but that is effective. It's the same technique.
Yeah.
It's very similar to what's happening there. Anyway, yes.
Like the JWs. It's the same with the JWs that I'm reading. But
yeah, well, they're a bit different. They don't get very G'd up, those guys.
Well, no, but they walk away with the glow. They walk out of the meetings with a glow, feeling like they're feeling the Holy Spirit. Same with the Mormons. I used to study with the Mormons for a while.
It's really funny because the JWs, you know, even talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, technically has nothing to do with good works, which is the pillar stone of the JWs. Hmm. So you do enough good things, and you will get into heaven or, you know, wherever you're going at the end, which is why I say I can't believe they're reading Romans because Romans is all about grace through faith. That it doesn't, you know, your good works don't really matter much. If you don't have faith, then that doesn't exist.
So Romans,
but the JWs don't.
Oh, Paul, did Paul write Romans? Paul didn't write Romans,
did he? He did. He absolutely did. Because Paul was the born again soldier. He was running around executing Jews.
Oh, okay.
He was a really well educated Roman. And so he was running around killing Jews. He killed Stephen. He stoned Stephen, the prophet, the evangelist Stephen.
Okay.
He stoned him to death. He oversaw it anyway. And then on the road to Damascus, the story goes, an angel of the Lord descended.
And he was Saul then, right? And then he changed his name.
Yes, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. But the reason that Paul's writings are all throughout the Bible is not only because he was highly educated, but his writing style, he writes, if you have a look at it, he writes words that, like his letters to the Corinthians, for example, were written in the style that the Corinthians would understand. It's unlike any other book of the Bible where in a literacy sense, he's writing so that they would understand what he's writing.
That is so interesting. I'm telling you, listen, just this week I was talking with Mandy about the Colossians or whatever.
Yep.
And I'm saying like,
and
so Paul wrote that as well, right? And I'm telling her exactly, I'm reading for literary style as much as anything. And I'm like, Mandy, it's so weird because Colossians, I don't think Paul actually wrote it because it's totally not, it's not done in his style.
Because he was educated, so he would go, well, you know, here are the dramas that the Colossians are facing. In many respects, when he wrote his letters to, it might have been the Corinthians. He wrote a whole series on love. It's read out at every wedding. But if you actually read the backstory on the Corinthians, there was a bunch of infighting happening there. Was it Corinthians? It might have actually been the Colossians, where they were uneducated. You had one with raging faith. You had one who was the army man. He'd locked Paul and Silas into a jail. Where was that? Paul and Silas get locked in a jail.
Paul and Silas get locked. Yep, good old internet.
In jail. Here we go. Paul and Silas.
Well, he wrote Colossians in jail.
It's the Philippians.
Philippians, okay.
Yep. So even though that part of the story is recounted in the gospel, so that's recounted in Acts, but the jailer, Philippian jailer, it's even predicted it. He converted after an earthquake saved.
Huh. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Uh-oh. I think I've lost my... Am I even connected? I think I may have... Uh-oh. Hold on. Am I on here? Oh, wait. Maybe not. Let's see. Anyway, I think, well, yeah, peace, bro. Come on, Jim. Come on. Full of the Holy Spirit. Castro baby, Alex baby, you do not remember your home. So, baby. You okay?
Oh.
Da-da-da. Is that even cold? Is that even warm? Oh, okay. How's my kids? Well. Oh. Castor baby, do you even recall Alan and Nixon Castro? Let's see. Let's see, nice. Oh, yeah. Cranky. Pretty good rust. Pretty sharp rust. Da-na-na-na-na. Castro. Why is it so cold all of a sudden? Hey, why is it so cold in here? Huh? What are you saying?
Pretty sharp rust.